Come on in to Anointed Temple of Praise, Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. This is our Monday Manna Bible study, Monday evening, October the 31st. And we're waiting for you to come on in. We're in about 1 minute early, but that's okay. We're waiting for you to join us this evening.
All right. Well, this is indeed, of course, the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And we're certainly grateful for each of you who have tuned in tonight as we share in this time together. Halloween night and trick-or-treat night. And so there's no tricks or treats that's going to happen here, but we're bringing you straight, solid word. And we praise God for his keeping power and for how he has sustained us and how he continues to bless us even in spite of ourselves. And we're certainly grateful for all that he's doing, all that he's done, and all that he will do. For the word decrees that eyes haven't seen nor ears heard, neither have there entered into the heart of men the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And so we're clear that the best is indeed yet to come. And so on this, the 31st day of October, as we close out this month, we be in the sixth chapter. There are only 16 verses there. And from the head instructor tonight, she said we'll only cover 8. I get my cue from her and my marching orders. And so she's already indicated that we're only going to do part of that. And believe it or not, we're really a little bit ahead of schedule. And I think on last week, we went through that entire, fifth chapter. And it was really supposed to only go through a portion of that chapter last week. But we were able to cover that. And it was only, 16 verses there as well. And so we might have to just go ahead and see how the Spirit leads us tonight as we delve into this time together. Well, let's go to God in prayer as we prepare for the word tonight. God, we bless you and we honor you, and we do thank you for being our God. We're certainly grateful for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. And we thank you, dear Lord, for your keeping power and sustaining us in the midst of everything that we're going through and everything that we've gone through. And so here we are tonight. And God, you continue to provide covering for us. And so for this, we give you praise. And so now, God, even as we gather to study your word, we pray that your word will indeed be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So we give you praise in advance for what you're about to do. We pray for each person that's going to be connected with us through this study tonight. And we ask now that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. It's in the powerful and marvelous and matchless name of Jesus, even the risen Christ, we pray. And those who love God said amen.
Amen.
Just give God a thumbs up there. Amen. If you're joining us and you've got a good clear signal, for we thank God for each of you. I tell you, Lady Kim, this has been, yesterday and all of this past weekend was a pretty busy weekend around ATOP. And we have a lot to just kind of reflect on. We could spend 15, 20 minutes just talking about the experiences that we had. Of course, with the women's retreat that happened this past weekend up in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And then the worship service on Sunday. And then, of course, after the worship service, by the time y'all got back from Arkansas, we were getting ready for the trunk or treat. And that was a substitute for us just to give the kids a safe environment. And I tell you, we had a counter out there yesterday. We were keeping number. I would say there were close to 1,000 kids that came through there. I might be pushing the number a little bit, but it was so many kids. It was just good thing we did have enough candy, because we started out just kind of giving a little bit out. But we had at least 500. I would say at least 500, and I might not be exaggerating if I say 1,000 kids that came through with their parents on yesterday.
We had a great time. Okay. Yes, we did. And we're very appreciative for all the people who decorated their cars in such creative ways. Thanks to all who participated, who handed out candy, who decorated their cars and made this event, the event, a successful one. It was awesome. So we do thank you for that.
Well, just reflect a little bit, Lady Kim. I know you were not in the worship service on yesterday, but just reflect a little bit over the women's retreat. And it was a tremendous void in the house on Sunday. But we continue to move forward and present the gospel and do what we do. But it was definitely a missing link without the presence of those who were on the trip. Just tell us a little bit about what happened as y'all experienced your women's retreat this past weekend.
Well, it was an awesome time in the Lord, an awesome time of fellowship, an awesome time of relaxation. When we left, we anticipated our arrival time to be to get to Hot Springs about 2 o'clock, but we were a little off on our timing. We probably didn't get there till around 3:30, and we went straight to the venue in which we were to eat, and we tried something a little different this time. We went to a food truck park.
Okay.
And ate, it was supposed to be our lunch. We ate lunch at the food truck park, and they had several different food trucks, all different types of food. They had Thai cuisine, soul food, Mexican food, Indian food.
Now you're going to just rub it in, right?
They had a lot. They had several food trucks to choose from. Mm-hmm. And it was a very nice little spot, you know. They had it where tables were set up outside. They had a little sheltered area where you could sit underneath. It was a little cool outside, but we were able to endure the weather. We sat and ate and talked. Then we boarded the bus and checked into the hotel and kind of settled in.
So are you going to tell us what you had to eat?
I chose...
You already got our appetites. You already got us drizzling and drooling, you know. Thinking about all the different...
I chose the soul food. It was called Mama V's.
Mama V's.
Yes, Mama V's.
Okay.
And I got a meatloaf and greens and mashed potatoes and gravy.
Okay.
And a roll.
Did they have macaroni and cheese?
I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, I'm spoiled.
You don't eat too many.
Too many people's macaroni and cheese than my own. But it was tasty. It was good.
Dr. Tunstall said it was tasty. Yeah, it sounds tasty.
Tierra had something that looked very delicious. She went to the Thai cuisine food truck, mm-hmm. and she had lo mein noodles with stir fried vegetables with broccoli and chicken, and all they gave her a huge amount.
So do they set up every day, or how do they set up?
They set up every day there.
Okay.
And then on the weekends, they have people to come in and provide entertainment, because there was a little stage at one end of the food truck park.
Okay.
So it was quite interesting.
Okay.
And we had a great time there at the food truck park. Then we went, like I said, we went to the hotel and got checked in, and then we went to dinner that night. That evening, and had fellowship at dinner and laughed and talked.
How many women were on the trip?
We had 40. I think it was, there were 43.
43. Okay. Okay.
So we had several that drove, but we had a 38 passenger bus that was full to capacity, and then several people drove.
Mm-hmm. So. Sounds like an exciting time. And we're glad that y'all were able to get away, that you get a chance to get in the water and all of that and get a bath and a massage.
Yes, you know, Hot Springs is known for their hot spring water. And yes, I was able to get a hot spring bath and a massage, and it was great. And we were able to go. Hot Springs is a quaint little town surrounded by mountains. And so we were there in the town, and we went and visited. They have the hot springs. The Arkansas National Park is right there in the middle of downtown, mm-hmm. and so we went there. And my roommate drove, and so she drove, we drove around because we planned on having a place to worship, looking for a place to worship in the park for Sunday morning. So we kind of drove around and drove up through the national park, and there was a winding road. It went up and up and up and up. And so we didn't go to the end. We kind of got kind of paranoid and turned back around because we were way up there before we decided to turn back around and come down. And, you know, it's only enough room for, there's enough room for two cars, but, you know, you have to pull way over to the side for the other car, oncoming car to pass.
Okay.
And so, but it was beautiful. The scenery was beautiful. You know, it's fall and the leaves are starting to change color. And, you know, it was awesome. But Saturday morning we had worship, and Minister Deborah Burroughs did an awesome job with the workshop and the worship. And then on Saturday evening, we also went out to dinner together as a group. We went to Fisherman's Wharf there on Lake Hamilton. And the food was outstanding, and the fellowship was even greater. And then on Sunday morning, we had worship in the park in the place that I selected.
Okay.
And we had a lot of people that stopped because we were praising the Lord. We were turning the park out.
All right. That was on Sunday morning.
That was on Sunday morning before we came back. We had praise in the park.
Well, tell us about the word that you shared with them on Sunday morning, right?
Yeah, I just shared a brief word. Okay. We did more singing and you know, talking about the experience of the weekend and, you know, testimonies. And, you know, I did give a brief word because Minister Deborah talked about the baggage that we carry as women. You know, she gave out a few Gucci bags. And,
did she?
Yeah, she gave out, I don't think it was Gucci, it was, another designer bag she gave to Minister Shotwell. And she gave some brand new shoes to someone. Beautiful high heel shoes, and you know, she took them out and said, "As if the shoe fits, wear it." You know, and she put them out there, and she said, "Whoever can wear these shoes can."
Did she say what size?
They were 9.5. So somebody came up and put
them on.
Yeah, put them on and waved a strut that stuff. So the shoes fit, so she wore them on out.
That's great. That's wow. That's great.
She gave away gifts for different things that she talked about throughout her workshop.
Okay.
So every time she got through talking about it,
she would give out something.
If that identified that person, she would give a gift.
Okay.
So it was awesome.
So how did this word tie into all of that? That's what I want to hear about.
Well, on Sunday, I just picked up from where she left off, and I talked from the book of 1 Samuel again, that 10th chapter, when I talked about hidden behind the baggage.
Yeah.
I just, you know, piggybacked on that and talked about, not only do we hide behind baggage, but we carry baggage with us sometimes.
Okay.
And if we are to be, you know, live the life that God wants for us, then we have to let that baggage go. We have to come out from among the baggage. And if we're carrying any baggage, we have to let that
baggage go. That's good.
So it was good. We had a good word. We also did exercise on Saturday morning.
Okay.
We did an exercise class. So all right. It was good. We had aerobics. Sister Brenda did an aerobics class, and we had fun with that also.
All right. Well, the Bible says, lay aside the weights and the sins that does so easily beset us. And it seems as if this was an awesome experience of people releasing and letting go and laying aside some of the weights that no doubt all of us carry, because that's just right in line with what I was preaching on Sunday while y'all were out. And I don't know, I think some of you had an opportunity to watch some of the service before y'all went to worship.
Right.
I talked about trusting God when life hurts. Mm-hmm. And you know, as I meditated and prayed on that from Psalm 34, verses 18 and 19, it really became evident that all too often we have issues, we have baggage, we have weights and sins, and we have situations and circumstances that many times weigh us down. And life is not fair. We oftentimes try to find an excuse for why we are going through what we are going through. But many times we find out that we can be our worst enemy, because mm-hmm. some of the pain and some of the hurt that we experience oftentimes comes as a result of self-inflicted hurt and pain that we put on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that passage that, since you're looking it up, I'll let you go ahead and share it. But it gives us a clear indication that God's got us in the midst of situations when they seem to go sour, and when we can't really figure out what God is up to, and things begin to turn against us, and we sometimes lose our focus and lose track. But Psalm 34, 18 and 19, what does it say, Lady Kim?
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Mm-hmm. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all.
Okay. So the Lord is near, and he's watchful. He's attentive. He has an eye on us as we go through. And so part of what I was trying to let people know is that even though it might seem rough and difficult for us now, we can continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because it's clear that there will be trials and tribulations. And the psalmist even declared that many are the afflictions. And so afflictions has to do with hurt, and has to do with disappointment and pain and disruption in terms of the normal process of what we go through. But God never changes. He says, I save those who are crushed in spirit. Sometimes our spirits get so crushed and people let us down, and we start focusing on the wrong things. But God is yet a present help in our hour of need. And I think Psalm 20:7 was one of the reference points that I used, where it says some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of our God. Mm. And so we have to continue to be steadfast in our pursuit to please God, even when we are faced with issues and situations that we don't completely understand. So that might be a word for somebody
Amen.
Today, Lady Kim, because I don't know your struggle, and I don't know what you're actually up against, but there are some things that we have to endure. But God has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He said, I'll be with you always, even until the end. So be encouraged tonight if you're going through a situation where you don't completely understand what God is doing, or it may not even make sense to you. Continue to hang on in there. And I think my good friend, Brother Johnny, says, hurts, hang-ups, and habits. Okay, all right. Hurts, hang-ups, and habits. That's good, because the three points I used was that we have to...
Your words have power.
Words have power. And then you have to change your bad habits to good habits. And then you have to understand that everything that God has promised you shall come to pass.
Yes.
And the other part of that has to do with God. He'll never let us go. He'll never let us off. And he loves us too much to leave us where we are. So we find ourselves in situations where it doesn't look favorable. We have to continue to trust God, because much of what we go through is developing us for where God is leading us to.
Amen. Yes. That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. And a lot of times, you know, we don't want to go through anything.
That's
right.
You know,
because, you know, life is difficult. We don't want to go through trials and tribulations, but it's through those times of testing mm-hmm. and through those times of tugging and pulling that God forms and continues to make us and shape us into who he wants us to be.
That's good. So that's just a little recap of this weekend, and it was a great time in the Lord. We felt the absence of those who were on the retreat, but God was present. His spirit was present in the house. And we had a great worship experience, and we know that y'all had an enjoyable time. And right on the tail end of getting back, y'all were rushing, trying to get everything set up. But I tell you, we had cars lined up, and the kids were there, It's all on the video. You can see it and watch it. But we praise God for the outreach opportunity, because it wasn't just about giving away snacks or candy. It was about us witnessing and sharing. And some people even indicated that they would be at church this Sunday. Mm-hmm. But we were passing out literature, and I saw a couple of people praying. And so we thank God for the outreach opportunity that he afforded us through that trunk or treat.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Well, we're in the sixth chapter of Song of Solomon. And there are 16 verses there. And what we will do tonight, we're going to just cover the first 8 verses. That's what the instructor told us tonight to do. And so we're going to have to follow her lead, because we know that if we don't, then there's trouble on the line. And so we got to make sure that we stay in line with what the instructor has to say. The Bible says, he that has an ear,
let him hear
what the Spirit of the Lord God is saying unto the church. Isn't that what he said?
That's the word.
Okay. All right. So, Lady Kim, on this sixth chapter, one of the headings here is that the young women of Jerusalem and King Solomon and the girl, they identify as the girl, the voice of others are heard. The woman speaks, makes it clear that she is particularly speaking to the women among the audience, calling out to them, and she referenced them as daughters of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And so what we will see here, even though Solomon and the Shunammite, his bride, they have gone back and forth describing their feelings for each other and talking about the different features and the characteristics as well as the personality. They went in depth in terms of talking about all of the features, the outward features of each other. We see now that they are moving to a whole nother direction and making sure that the daughters of Jerusalem voices are heard.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see a lot of that coming out here in this sixth chapter of the Song of Solomon. And so you want to go ahead and move forward in terms of reading the first 8 verses, and is there a commentary that you want to share before we start to read?
No, we'll read it.
Okay. All right. Okay.
All right.
See, I told you, you have to follow the instruction of the professor if you plan to have a successful situation.
Chapter 6, verse 1. Whether is thy beloved gone?
Mm-hmm.
O thou fairest among women, whether is thy beloved turned aside, that we may see him with thee?
Okay.
My beloved is gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens, and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Thou art beauties, O my love,
mm-hmm.
as Tryza. Comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Thy teeth are as a flock of sheep, which go up from the washing, whereof every one beareth twins, and there is not one barren among them. As a piece of a pomegranate are they temples within thy locks. There are 80 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number.
Wow. All right. That's a lot there, because as we indicated, this is the young women of Jerusalem, King Solomon and the girl. These are the voices of others as they are being heard here. And the woman speaker makes it clear that she is particularly speaking to the women among the audience, calling out to them as the daughters of Zion. So when we look at this, what do you see as part of how we can make this relatable and how we can transfer this in terms of being applicable to our own situations.
Well, as we know that this Song of Solomon is a lot of symbolism.
Okay.
And so we try to, you know, acquaint the verses with Christ and the church being Christ's bride.
Mm-hmm.
And so those made acquainted with the excellence of Christ and the comfort of an interest in him desire to know where they may meet him. Those who would find Christ must seek him early and diligently. Remember in that first verse where it talks about whether is thy beloved turned aside that we may seek him with thee.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means about those who would find Christ must seek him early and diligently. And then it goes on, you know, in verses 2 and 3, it talks about Christ's church. Let me read 2 and 3 again, because it said, my beloved is gone down into his garden to the beds of spices to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. So Christ's church is a garden, enclosed and separated from the world, and he takes care of it. He delights in it. He visits it.
Okay.
So those who would find Christ must attend to him in his ordinances, the word, the sacrament, and in prayer. When Christ comes to his church, it is to entertain his friends and to take believers to himself. He picks the lilies one by one, and at the great day, he will send forth his angels to gather all his lilies, that he may be forever admired in them. The death of a believer is not more than the owner of a garden plucking a favorite flower, and he will preserve it from withering, cause it to flourish forever with increasing beauty. If our own hearts can witness for us that we are Christ, question not his being ours, for the covenant never breaks on his side. It is the comfort of the church that he feeds among lilies, that he takes delight in his people.
Okay, okay. That's powerful there, as we transfer that and make it applicable to how it applies to us as the people of God. Even though the Song of Solomon is really a love story between a king and this Shulamite woman, but when you look at it and how it relates to us, it's really about Christ in the church and his love for us, and how he tends for us, as just as he does, as described here with the garden and with all of the other things that happen in this particular text. So is it with God when he cares for us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Okay.
And so, you know, just as the gardener tends and cares for the garden, so, like you said, so Christ cares for his people.
Okay.
Those that love him and that are drawn to him and are that, you know, they say if you seek him, then mm-hmm. you'll find him.
Okay, okay. And it's interesting because the Song of Solomon is probably parked right central in the Bible, and then you move away from that, this whole love story, and you start dealing with all of the other issues and drama that all of the different characters and all of the different people throughout the Old Testament had to deal with and what they were faced with. And we know that the Jesus himself said, I didn't come to destroy, but I came to fulfill. And so he, in the New Testament, is not a full book that describes the love that God has for us, but we see elements of that throughout the New Testament. And one in particularly, when we go to, I was thinking about 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, when Paul describes the relationship and uses that love chapter and shares with us how important it is for us to have love for each other and how important it is for us to care for each other just as Christ cared for the church. Mm-hmm. And so this is interesting, and this whole Song of Solomon, I think, is a central in terms of us making that connection with Christ's love for us and with how Solomon cared for the Shunammite woman and how he loved her.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Good.
Is my back support about to come up?
It is.
All right, just pull it down. There you go.
It won't go.
You're just trying to get close to me. I see what you're doing. See, the people think I'm making this up. See, y'all think I'm making all that up. All right.
You want me to get close?
See that? See, you lost about 15 people last week when you started doing that. Right?
You started that.
Okay. All right. But no, you're absolutely right. And so this is powerful for us to also realize the importance and the significance of God's love for us, because God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so his love is being exhibited through his son and the sacrifice that he was willing to make so that we might have the right to the tree of life.
And so
greater love has no man than this, that a man be willing, the Bible says, lay down his life for a friend.
Amen.
And that's powerful, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And so God's love is a love that... what's a good word? How would you describe it?
It's everlasting.
It's everlasting.
Eternal.
It's eternal. It's unchanging.
Unchangeable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so maybe someone else might have an expression of God's love. Go ahead and type it in the margins there. We are in Song of Solomon, the 6th chapter. Lady Kim has already read the first 8 verses. And our script tells us that we should stop right there and pick up the rest of those 16, eight verses.
Stop at 8.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. And pick up the rest of those 8 verses next week. Is that what it's indicating to
yes.
us? But let's go ahead, Lady Kim. We got enough time. I mean, we can read the latter 8. Are you prepared?
We have a few comments right
now. Okay,
here.
All right.
Since God's love is unfathomable, God's love is true.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
Good adjectives for God's love.
Yeah. Are there others that, how would you express God's love for you and how he has changed your life because of his love? Go ahead and type it in. Let us see what you have to say there. And even as you're doing that, God's love is true. Okay.
God's love is everlasting.
Everlasting.
Yes.
Okay. From everlasting to everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Untouchable.
That's good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Undeniable.
Undeniable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for us, something just begins to brew on the inside. And there's no other love that can even come close to the love that God has for us.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree?
I agree wholeheartedly.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So what is that next one there?
Unmeasurable.
Unmeasurable. All right. Y'all working tonight. That's great. That's great. And so we have a right, a reason, and a responsibility to give God praise. Because when we put it in proper context of his expression of love toward us, then we have a responsibility to at least respond back to God and show an expression of gratitude and appreciation for all that he's done. Would you agree with me on that?
Amen. I like what Sister Regina said. She said his love is unconditional.
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 That's a great word right there.
Infinite. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Or a couple of others.
Yeah. So when you talk about an unconditional love, what is that? What comes to mind?
That means no matter what, no matter how I act, no matter what I do, God's love still remains the same.
Okay. But also, And that's true, because also once we understand how much he loves us, our behavior then begins to match the belief, and our behavior should match the practice of what we who we say we are as believers, right?
Amen. Martez said, "Never ending."
Never ending. Mm. That's a good one. Yeah. And so it's not a word for us to have. When you talk about unconditional, that's not a word for us to just do whatever we want to do, however we want to do it, without any consequence or without any consciousness in terms of what God requires of us.
Right.
That's similar to that whole grace. Sometimes people exploit God's grace and they take it for granted because they know that it's there. That's the same thing with the gifts that we have in the body of Christ. Some of us are sitting on the gifts that God has given us and we're not using them. And God is not like man that he's just come down and snatched that gift away from you and give it to somebody else. But there's an old saying that we used to say, if you don't use your gift,
you lose
your gift. And so I just believe there are countless people, even in ATOP, that have gifts of singing, or gifts of serving, gifts of administration, and the list can go on, and they are not actively
utilizing
and using those gifts in order to extend the work of Christ and what he would requires of us as believers.
Dr. Holmes said, God's love is God's power. God's power is God's love. You're right, Reverend. Respond to this great love with gratitude and service.
Okay, God's love is God's power, and God's power is God's love. That's
good.
Yeah, that's a good word there. And so we have to appropriate that in such a way that our behavior matches our belief.
Amen.
If we believe that God is able, if we believe that God will heal, if we believe that God will sustain us, and as we talked about on yesterday, we believe that God will be there even as we go through difficulty and trying times, then we ought to show some signs. Mm-hmm. There ought to be something that we ought to do in terms of showing God how much we appreciate what he's done. And it's not just in the giving of our tithes and our offerings, you know, but it's in the giving of our gifts. It's in the giving of our service. It's in the giving of our love and extending that same love, unconditional love, towards somebody else.
Amen.
Because Lady Kim, you kind of extend that kind of love to me.
Oh.
Huh?
Yes.
Okay. You say, oh, really? Okay. Where did that come from?
I know. I'm like, oh.
Oh, all right. You said, no, do I? Really? All right.
Well, no, but you're right on point with that. Because, you know, like we talked about in the Song of Solomon, mm-hmm. again, getting back to our the scripture, mm-hmm. that Christ's church is the garden.
Right.
And
right.
It can be a, you know, when we think about a garden, we think about a flower garden. We think about a variety of different flowers,
right.
You know, because variety, they say, is the spice of life.
Okay.
So, and you know, just as a gardener cares for the garden, mm-hmm. you know, it produces beauty.
Okay.
And life. And as we separate ourselves from the world, you know, God cares for us.
That's right.
He makes us beautiful in his time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as God loves us and we cling to him and begin to love others, you know, there's beauty in that.
Okay. John Tunstall out in Los Angeles, he said, keep your focus. Stay focused. That's right. Absolutely. I got you. So this is a very good chapter, and it's a very good place to really anchor down and mm-hmm. see how important and how significant God's love is toward the church. And I think once we understand that, Lady Kim, and once we get serious about using what God has given us to give him glory and honor and appreciation, I think we begin to grow even more so in our ability to draw others, because we are blessed to be a blessing.
Yes, we are.
And saved to do some saving. That's Bishop T. Gary Benjamin. Do some loving. We love to do some loving. And so we have to make sure that we be exhibitors of and expressions of God's love. Mm-hmm. And don't keep it to ourselves. That's like once we receive the Holy Spirit. And I think I heard Dr. Holmes preaching this past Sunday. It's poured out, you know, but it also has to be a give and take there, where once we receive it, then we have a responsibility to do something with it, mm-hmm. and not keep it to ourselves.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
good. That's good.
Okay. All right. So what's your pleasure, Lady Kim? It's about 15 more minutes. You want to hold those last 8 verses, or you want to read them, and then we can come back and talk about them next week?
We can do that.
Okay.
Yes.
We're in the 6th chapter of Songs of Solomon, and Lady Kim has already read the first 8 verses. There are only 16 verses there, and we are really ahead of schedule, but we do want to go ahead and read those last 8 verses of that 6th chapter. And then we'll come back and just do a little recap next week in terms of some of the significance of some of those verses. And then we'll prepare to close out for tonight.
Amen.
And go ahead and get your prayer requests ready if you have any. We want to make sure that as we close out that we pray and agree with you around what you believe in God to do in your situation.
Mm-hmm. Amen. We're in the 6th chapter of the Song of Solomon, the 9th verse. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughter saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley, and to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranate budded, or ever I was aware. My soul made me like the chariots of Anamabib. Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will ye see in the Shulamite, as it were the company of two armies?
Hmm. That's powerful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it's a lot of imagery there, and we are trying to make it live for us and show how we can make it apply to our own situation, just as we indicated with the first 8 verses, how important for us to understand the love of God toward the church and how much he was willing to invest in us. And so we have a responsibility as a result of that. Once we really grab that and understand the significance of his love, then we ought to be better. We ought to do better.
Amen.
Increase whatever it is that we are doing. And it shouldn't just remain something just, you know, that we kind of take for granted and kind of ho-hum and not really, you know, trying to grow even more than we already are.
Mm-hmm.
Some people come to a point and a place in the journey where I think they decide to settle and they stop stretching and they,
it's easy to become complacent,
mm-hmm.
you know, where we are, you know. It's very easy to become complacent and not have a desire or become lazy or lackadaisical about mm-hmm. the things of God and the things that we do for God. But just think about it this way. What if God woke up one morning and decided he wasn't going to bless you that this morning? You
right,
know, he got
right.
lazy or lackadaisical with his blessings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where would that leave us? So we really have to, you know, be cognizant or conscious of continuing to go higher in God.
That's right.
To do better for God.
That's right.
To do more for God.
And even, Lady Kim, as you were saying that, I was just thinking about, because it happens every year, you know, we close out 1 year and then we start making plans and expectations for things that we want to improve on and how we want to increase our faith and how we want to increase our spiritual disciplines. And then it's sometimes it kind of goes downhill after about two months or so into the new year. But this is a great time. Here we are closing out October. This is the last day of October. And we're getting ready to go into the last 2 months of the year. A great time to start reflecting and thinking about what you can do better and how you can improve on where you are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure that you make the necessary changes in order to please God. You know, we're not trying to please man, but we are trying to please God mm-hmm. with our behavior. And the more we know about him, the better we ought to be in terms of how we respond to
mm-hmm.
that love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was talking with someone during the retreat, and we were talking about having an accountability partner.
That's good.
You know, if you have an accountability partner, someone, you can hold each other accountable. You know, there's a power in more than one, you know.
Okay.
There's power in a double strand. There's power in a three strand cord. So if you find two other people, you know, to make it a three strand cord, what you're trying to accomplish, you'll have a greater percentage of accomplishing your goal with wow. accountability partner. So whatever it is you want to do for God, you know, if it's a Bible study or, you know, find you an accountability partner who will say, hey, get on Bible study on Monday evening mm-hmm. at 6:30, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
I see you. I didn't see you online for Bible study, or come to Sunday school on Sunday. I'll meet you there at 8:30. Find an accountability partner that will hold you accountable.
That's good. That's good.
All right. So all we right. have some prayer requests that are coming up. If you have prayer requests, please put them in the chat. We're getting ready to close out tonight, just a few minutes early,
mm-hmm.
But we're getting ready to close out. We do want to lift up our own brother, Clinton Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Smith took a fall and cracked some of his ribs, and so we want to lift him up in prayer in a mighty way. He's doing okay, but you know how those ribs, cracked ribs, any broken bone, you're in some pain. So you know, we pray for God's healing virtue to go forth in Brother Clinton Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Then Sister Jessica asked prayer for Kevin McGee and the McGee family. They're having a difficult time. They need prayer and strength and peace. So we're praying for the strength and peace of the McGee family.
Okay. I was trying to see if we had any comments on the streaming side, and I don't see any right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We want to continue to lift up all of the Christian churches in the Tennessee area. Not only in the Tennessee area, we want to lift up Dr. John Tunstall's church, Abundant Life, in Los Angeles, California. We want to lift up Alpha and Omega, New Covenant Alpha and Omega Ministries, Dr. Holmes Church in Denver, Colorado. So we want to lift up churches, Christian churches, churches all over, because the more we do for Christ, the busier the enemy tries to get to work against us.
That's right. That's
so
right.
We have a job. We have been entrusted and we have been commissioned by God for a great work. And as we go forth to do a great work, we want to stay the hand of the enemy.
That's right.
That tries to defeat us or tries to discourage us, to keep us from doing what God has called us to do.
That's right. All right. Well, Lady Kim, will you then go ahead and prepare to close us out tonight with a word of prayer?
Absolutely. Precious okay. Jesus, we love you tonight. We bless you and we honor you, God. We give you thanks and praise. God, we thank you for a successful women's ministry trip. We thank you for bringing us back home safely. We thank you that there were no incidents or accidents. We thank you, oh God, that you showed grace and favor and mercy and traveling grace upon us as we left and as we returned home. We lift up to you, Brother Clinton Smith, tonight, God. We ask that you would touch his body, that you would heal him, God, in the name of Jesus. That you would bless Mother Smith, oh God, as she attends to his needs. God, we lift up Keith McGee and the McGee family during this difficult time. Whatever they need, oh God, we ask that you would give them peace and strength, God, for the days, the weeks, and the months ahead. We ask, oh God, that you would continue to bless their lives as only you can. You know what the situation is, God, so we ask that you be God. We ask, oh God, that you arise, oh God, in all of our lives, that you would make us stronger in your word. Give us the strength that we need in order to go forth to be all that you would have us
God.
To be.
Yes, God.
God, I lift up my family. I lift up Michael Jones to you, God. I lift up Portia Harper to you, God. You know all about them, God. You made them and you created them. You know the issues that they're faced with, God. So we ask in the name of Jesus that you would make a way out of no way,
God.
Thank
you, God.
Grant Michael mercy, oh God, as he faces his next challenge. And we thank you today, God, for all that you're doing, all that you've done, and all that you will do. And for every listener on the line today, everybody, God, that is on this Bible study and those who will listen to the Bible study later on, we ask your choicest blessings to be upon each person who clicks in on this Bible study. That you will reveal to them their purpose, that you will give them strength and stamina, that you will give them an extra amount of energy and synergy to go forth to be all that you would have them to be. Now, God, give us strength, give us peace, give us courage, give us the fortitude to go forth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, and praise God. Thank you for that powerful prayer tonight as we close out. And look, we'll see y'all next week. We're going to start with the sixth chapter and just reflect on those last eight verses. And then we'll move into the seventh chapter.
Okay. And don't forget, early voting is going on. I think Wednesday
is the
last day for early voting. So if you have not exercised your right to vote,
you still have time.
Still have time to get out there and vote.
And this weekend, something else is happening, right? Fall back, right?
Oh, it is. Yeah. This weekend. Well, I'm glad you reminded me. You need to turn the clocks back on Saturday night. Fall back 1 hour. Amen. Fall back 1 hour. So you get an extra hour of sleep, don't we? Yeah, we get an extra hour of sleep on Saturday. So don't forget to turn the clock back. Continue to lift up our prayer requests in your prayers. And don't forget to vote. Thank you all for joining on tonight. We love you. Bless you. Bye-bye.
See you next time.